Yes, it's Tube Talk on WRCA Radio. Music, maestro, please.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Tube Talk on WRCA Radio, 1330 AM. And just in case you're wondering, we had Jimmy Lunsford with the Organ Grinder Swing and Christopher Columbus by Andy Kirk in his 12 Clouds of Joy. What a name. Thank you for heeding the clarion call to tune in to Tube Talk. This is the radio experience that cannot be duplicated. We cater to the upper crust of the radio hobby. From Admiral to Zenith, from Tombstone to Tabletop, from Cathedral to Console, this is the show for you, where each and every week we pay tribute to our electronic, musical, and entertainment heritage, broadcasting from the bonny banks of the River Charles in Cambridge, Mass., here at WRCA, overlooking Boston. You know, I can look out here, I can just see that Citgo sign. You know, they show that all the time if you ever watch the Red Sox. And your show, shall I mention, is hosted by me, your host, Paul Burish. Yes, beautiful music still on AM radio, and we can thank Ron Ramirez for providing that beautiful rendition of Stardust by Artie Shaw. That was broadcast originally on an earlier show when we did some big band music fun with Ron Ramirez from the Philco Forum. And it is nice to hear beautiful music on AM, along with interesting radio conversation. And you can get it each and every Friday night at 10 o'clock right here on Tube Talk on WRCA 1330 AM and streaming on the WRCA website. You can also get WRCA on iHeartRadio or tune in. You can get that on that there mobile device you fellas got there. Well, let's go down and see who's in the big old rocking chair down in the radio room tonight. It's Bruce Phillips, and Bruce is our president and longtime member of the New England Antique Radio Club. He is proprietor of the Radio Orphanage and a great guy to talk radio with. So, Bruce, welcome aboard. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me, Paul. It's always a pleasure to be on and talk radio with people that are interested. And it's been a really strong year for us at New England Antique Radio Club. This is our 25th anniversary. We've had a lot of things going on this year. We started out with Radio 43 in Westford, Mass. It took place in the middle of a snowstorm.
I know, we were not daunted.
It is still the best radio show on the East Coast, bar none. My favorite, and I'm glad that New England Antique Radio Club had the opportunity to take it over. And even in the middle of a pretty strong snowstorm, we had over 250 admissions come in beyond the 70 people that were there with their tables and selling their wares. So it turned out to be a great event. We have people that come up from New York and Maryland and those areas, all over the Boston area. We get a lot of people who are just sort of interested in radios at that point in time. We get antique dealers who come through and look at what we sell. So that show is always a great show. And of course, we do the two shows every year in Brookline, New Hampshire, just outside Nashua. We did our April show this year. We also had an auction there, and the auction went very well. It was a collection of a gentleman who had been a member of our club years ago. And I think the auction went well. I think the radio show went well. I would say that our radio shows are different between Westford and Brookline. The Brookline show is a little more laid back. It brings in mostly radio collectors, but some antique dealers. It's not as costly to get a table, and it's not as costly for admission at Brookline.
No, I think
we'll have our next. Go ahead.
I just want to back you up a little bit to go back to Radio 43. I really was impressed with the turnout given the weather. And, you know, it's becoming a little bit more of a stayover event, which I think is really what helped us, too. I mean, not only did a lot of people get out and drive through the snow, which was great, and talk about dedicated collectors and sellers, but it was great to have that many people who were already there. When I pulled in the morning, the place was almost full up. Everybody was set up and ready to go, and you know, having it at the Regency there is really nice because there were so many folks that are already there, they're ready to go. So despite the fact that I think about the week before that, we had had a whopper of a snowstorm, and then we had, you know, about another 5 or 6 inches on that Sunday, but still the thing went off without a hitch. It was great. It was a great testament to the club and to the hardy New England antique radio collector, don't you think?
Absolutely. And as you say, I would believe that more than 40 couples or families spent the night on Saturday night at the Westford Regency. I spent a lot of time on Saturday evening talking to a lot of people that would be dealers and buyers through the evening that evening, and there were a lot of people there from New Jersey and New York, and even people who lived within an hour decided, hey, we like to come up on Saturday night. We get to sit and talk with our friends we've had for years. And, you know, in New England, we have fast radio shows. We don't have them for 2 and 3 days at a time. We have blocks of 4 hours to have a radio show. So people like to kick back a little bit. The Westford Regency has always been good at giving us a good price for the rooms. And I'll admit, I stayed there overnight, and
well,
I enjoyed it.
Smart man. You know,
a lot better than driving in the morning.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, that's nice about that show is it gives you, if you're getting a little cabin fever because there's not too much that goes on in the dead of winter, you know, it gets you out of the house. So, but we digress. How did April go? And, you know, our first ever auction, you know, how cool is that? I have never been to a radio auction, though. I've interviewed a fellow who gives them. But how did the whole auction go off? How well was it received? I heard it was a lot of fun for everybody.
It was. It was a great time. And, you know, the enjoyment of being at the Brookline Event Center is that Ron and Kathy are both auctioneers, and excellent. You know, Ron did the auctioneering, sure. But they are excellent. They are excellent organizers of the auction. They sold over 100 radios.
Wow.
They auctioned them, sold them, had them paid for, and people were gone in under 1 hour.
That's beautiful. Very professional
job. I had
people
say, well, that's going to take all afternoon. And you would just be amazed how quickly that went through.
That's so cool.
You know, there were no major snags, and you know, people could buy something. They could pay for just one item and leave if they wanted, or even if they stayed right to the end. The tickets were all done in advance. They knew exactly what they owed. It went without a hitch. I was very pleased. I can guarantee we will have more auctions there in the future. And like I say, it's a great niche for both our radio club, for any radio collectors that want to sell their radios in the future through an auction, and also for the Pelleteers who run the Brookline Event Center. So it was just a natural thing to take place.
You know, and the neat thing about... I'm sorry, just the neat thing about an auction, too, is, you know, you go in there, and a lot of people, you know, I think are a little nervous that, well, you know, this, what if it gets bid up, and things will be out of my price range, and I might not be able to afford it. You know, they're more comfortable with the traditional bartering that might go on at the swap, where you can feel a little more comfortable that you can get a price you can live with. But the nice thing about an auction, though, is, you know, people run out of money, or some people aren't interested in something after they see it. So I heard there was some great buys. There were some very nice sets that went for what you would say is fairly short money in today's market.
Yeah, I mean, and as I say, with our first auction, it was good that the people who were auctioning in the radios, who actually owned the radios, were more interested that they went to collectors than how much money they got for them.
Right.
And I think most things traveled to relatively their fair market value. I mean, some radios weren't in great condition. Other radios were very nice. I mean, I personally bought, I think, 8 radios. But to me, the enjoyment of an auction is, you know, make your decision in advance. Go, I really want that radio, that radio,
sure,
that radio. And here's the maximum amount I'm willing to pay for that radio sitting there in the condition it's in. If it goes for more than that, then you walk away. There'll be another one someday. And if it doesn't, then you get to own it at a price you expected you should pay. So I like the auction format. But I don't normally go to regular auctions because you can spend hours there to see a single radio.
Sure.
So,
well, it's a nice way to end up our regular show. You know, it's a nice way to end things up, too. We have a good swap. You know, you have a lot of meet and greet, revive some old friendships. And then to finish up the day, you get a good shot at the oxygen. Auction. I need some oxygen. You get a good shot at the auction. You go home happy. And it's a nice way to make it a little bit more of a day, you know, to your point of having shorter radio meets up here. It's a nice way to cap things off. That's great.
We're looking for things to do with our radio club to extend the day a little. We don't want to just decide to have our flea market for a full day. That's not going to change things. People, by the time they see what's in the room over 3 or 4 hours, they're done with that. So we're looking at other opportunities over the next year or two to extend the day for people, not to take up the whole day, but maybe a couple more hours where,
sure,
you do have some social activity where you can stop and talk to people. And we've got some things we're cooking up, and they are... one of them is the potential of a barbecue at our next show in September.
Oh, yeah.
We're done with all the logistics for it, but that's in our planning works right now.
Well, that would be
fun.
And I'll
tell you, I would expect next spring to run another auction at that time period. And if it goes well, we may decide to have one after each show in Brookline.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, too, if you see the line that lines up, because I know we do the breakfast sandwich routine, the folks who run the auction center are very kind. They'll open up their snack bar there and do up the bacon and egg sandwiches and all that. I can tell you, if there's nothing that they like better than radios, well, maybe eating is somewhere in the mix too, because there's always a good line. So I think the barbecue thing would probably have some legs, because who doesn't like to have something to eat before they hit the road, you know, for the long ride home? So hey, just back to the club in general. We've got some developments. We've expanded the website a little bit, and I know Joe Coco has done a fantastic job adding photos in different links in different sections. We're really coming along as far as developing our website as more of a presence to attract new members, too. Maybe you could just give us a little bit about some of the things we've gotten into that are new for us.
Sure. As you say, Joe's done just a wonderful job with the website. I'm very pleased by that. If there's anything I've seen in the past 2 years, that's probably our strongest point. And as you say, where there are younger people catching on to us from the website and coming to our shows, and that's always a plus. We did add a Yahoo New England Antique Radio group, and I think that will become one of the more important items as a club member in the future, where prior to a radio show, you can say, I'm looking for this type of radio.
Sure.
Is anybody bringing one? You can say, I'm bringing these things. If you're looking for a knob for that particular Zenith, you can get that information out to, well, right now we've got 50 members on it, but my guess is by next year we'll have at least 150 members on it.
Yeah, and that's the type of thing, too.
Hoping,
nope, go ahead. It's a culture thing, too.
I'm just hoping that
we have to get used to it.
Everybody in the club gets involved in it, because I think the more people use it, the more they'll realize how good it is. I mean, you can go to a radio show and start looking for something, but if you can let people know in advance you're looking for something, it'll probably show up for you there. So I think that will help to really strengthen the group and some interpersonal relationships also. I think it'll be very important with that.
Yeah, and I think the other neat thing about that is, too, it gives you a way to look at some stuff that you'd never see. I mean, you know, we all meet at the swaps, or we might see each other at different shows, and you know what, I may never have a chance to go to every club member's house and look at their collection, but you know, for example, Paul Dumont put up a German set. He showed it off when he had finished it off. I mean, that's neat to see. It's something different. It's a new radio for me to oogle some more eye candy. And you know what, I mean never get to his house just because of time and 100 other reasons, but you know, if I can see some of the stuff that he's worked on, you know, before and afters from different projects, it's a great way to share not only know-how and knowledge about getting things done. It's a super way to look into the window, so to speak, and kind of peek into other people's collections. And it is a great way to build a little camaraderie. Are you going to be at the show? Who's coming? Where are you going to meet? What time you going there? So, you know, you see all these different antique radio forums. I mean, I'd rather go home and log into the Yahoo group for about 10 minutes than go in and log in and look at my bills or all the ads that I get in my email box. So I like that development a lot. And now I think you could even sign up as a member online, which is cool, and pay your dues.
Absolutely. That was another piece that we added to it that Joe really did well with. We wanted to make it easier for the club members. We know, you know, you get a piece in the mail and you put it over on the side and you want to do it, and all of a sudden it's weeks and months later, and you go, oh. So we have been able to set up so the dues can be paid and your tables can be purchased right online. You can do it with any credit card. We also accept PayPal. So it's not a problem now when you decide you want a table. It's not a problem to upgrade your dues. We have gone for the first time this year into two different sets of dues. One is internet dues, where your radio newsletters come to you on the internet, and it's half the price of our standard dues because we spend so much money in postage and publishing radio news in a magazine form to send it through the mail. And we found a lot of people are really catching on to our internet version. The internet version is in color. It's a lot more fun to look at than the black and white copy we make, because a color copy, printing it and sending it, is just cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
And so we're very excited about that.
And it's a lot of clubs are doing that type of thing now, too, and it's a good way to put more content out, and you're not spending all that money on postage, and it's easy to share, I think. So that's great. Another great development. Well, hey, one thing I'd like to go over a little bit with you, because not only is Bruce president of the New England Antique Radio Club, he also runs the Radio Orphanage, which is his radio rescue and reselling business, we could say. And I'd just like to check in, and what's your opinion these days? I've heard a lot of different people with a sense that things are picking up a little bit in the radio collecting hobby, as far as prices are getting, coming up a little bit for some sets, and that there's some more interest in it. But, you know, What's the state of the hobby? Are you noticing more people at meets, willing to spend more money? I think things are still pretty well attended. But, you know, what would you say as far as the radios themselves? Catalan, for example, a lot of people have told me they think Catalan is just imploding. There's not as much interest in that the prices are coming down. What do you think?
Well, I would tell you exactly the opposite. I would tell you that Catalan has been extremely hot since Christmas time. There was a large auction in New York in November. The prices on the Catalan that was there were very high. Obviously, you know, I sell some on eBay.
Sure.
And the prices I pulled from January through April were some of the highest prices I'd ever received for Catalan radios. So
that's interesting.
If somebody told you that Catalan's dying, I'd be glad to buy their sets from them.
We'll give them your number.
I think the key in any radio right now is condition. You know, everybody looks at a price guide and it says the radio is worth $157. Well, you know, is that the radio if it's beat up? Is that the radio if it's working? Is that the radio if it's in pristine condition?
Right.
No, that's the average radio. And what people are looking for now are just the spectacular radio. The radio that looks like it wasn't used, the radio that might still be in the box, the radio that's in perfect condition, and the price guide doesn't mean a thing at that point.
Yeah, you know, throw it out the window. Now, one other thing is, at least my own observation is, I've noticed, and again, it might speak to this issue where people are looking for things that are more perfect. I mean, you're always sort of on the lookout for either the manufacturer that you really like, or the set that you've been looking for, and you've been to, you know, 20 different swap meets, you've never seen it. So there's always something that if you saw it, you know you're going to buy it, probably regardless of condition. But, you know, I'm trying to get a little bit more focused on some of the wooden sets from, you know, the 1930s time frame, because I've got quite a bit from the 40s. And it sometimes seems to me it's getting harder and harder to find something that's in, you know, I'd say very good or bordering on pristine shape. That's from the 30s. Would you share that, what's your observation?
And I think you're right, Paul. I think that you know, good condition pieces are getting tough to find. They found their way into collections and they're staying where they are. And you know, a few come up on the market from time to time. But if they're in nice shape, they go for really good money. If they're beaters, they go for next to nothing. And you know, long term, buying a better, I mean, I learned this from collecting coins when I was a little kid. Buy the best one you can afford. It will go up in value. If you buy the low end one with a lot of problems, it's always going to be the low end one with a lot of problems, and it just will not escalate in value.
I know, unless you're fortunate enough to be an extremely talented woodworker and electronics restoration guy, all wrapped up into one, and you've got so much time. You can bring it back, but I know what you mean. And somebody told me once that every radio seems to have a fatal flaw. You know, no matter how good it looks, so you know, there's something that you're going to wind up really having difficulty overcoming in the restoration of the set. You know, whether it's silver migration, if you like the FM type sets from later years, or if it's you know, the biggest thing I think you run into now is, and I won't, butchering has sort of a negative connotation to it, so I won't say that, but if you have a set and it's been around, you know, this great world for 80 years, 75 years, there's a good chance that, well, maybe somebody who knew what they were doing worked on it, and then you might have had two or three other guys or gals who didn't know what they were doing working on it. So you get something that cosmetically looks pretty good, but when you get underneath the chassis, there's just too many sins, you know, to be corrected, and that's when you start to lose your hair. and that's what, you know, as these sets get older and older and as they pass through more hands, I guess that's something that's inevitable. So again, to your point, if you could find something that was in the box or stuffed on a shelf or Grandpa forgot about and we left it in the attic, those are what we are all looking for. And just, you know, I always try to mention this during the program, and we'll harp on it some more as episodes go by. But, you know, Bruce and I are talking about radios that may not have played in 50, 60, 70 years. Even if it's in great shape and it was left in the factory box, don't expect to take it out and plug it in. Electronic components degrade over time. It's a great hobby. You want to make sure you are safe and staying safe in the hobby. Don't risk your radio. Don't risk yourself. Don't risk your property. Make sure your radio set gets checked out by somebody who's competent, knows what they're doing. They certainly can get it back to working condition, but it's not the type of thing where you want to go to a swap meet, find a nice 1938 radio, go home and plug the thing in, and then have to call the fire department. That's not what, honey, why are the smoke detectors going off? I remember Ray Bintliff wrote a nice little article. Why are those smoke detectors going off? Well, that's something we hope we don't have to address. Just one other thing I'd like to kind of talk about a little bit with yourself is you mentioned you picked some things up at the auction. Any notable additions to your radio collection you'd like to share with us? Have you found anything really cute or hot or something you've been looking for?
Well, I did pick up a couple wooden sets, and they needed work, and I'm fortunate enough to have a friend who does my chassis work for me, and I have another friend who does the case work for me, so I none of them were what I call very exciting, but they were priced right, and I couldn't bear to see them go for any lower than they did, so I bought them.
What'd you pick up? What brands?
Well, let's see. I picked up two Zeniths. I picked up an interesting Philco that you never see, and I picked up an RCA 66X that you just don't see either, and I was very pleased by those because they were actually items I did not have in my collection.
Very good.
And so that at this point in time, I do have a lot of radios, and I do think a lot before I buy more radios of exactly what's my plan with them, other
That's
than
right.
having more radios, because there's only a limited amount of space. So
well, that's a gating factor in the final factor. And I was reading somebody's post on one of the club newsletters I get, and one guy was saying, practicality. How good is that price, and how do I possibly shoehorn it into my already overcrowded storage area? It's the thing we all face. Hey, I've been trying to pick people's brains when they come on the show, and I'm just curious. It's interesting to see what people absolutely couldn't part with. So here, I'm going to give you a tough quiz question here, pop quiz. If we were going to send you off to a desert island and you could only take one radio out of your collection with you, which one would you take and why?
Wow, that's a tough one.
I know. I shouldn't spring those on people. But do you have any? Is there a favorite amongst all of those ones that you have?
Well, my son would tell you that I had been known to tell him in the past that when he shuffles me off to that nursing home somewhere, I would certainly like my Philco 49501. It's a modernistic radio. There really isn't anything else like it, and I certainly have other radios that are more valuable, maybe more colorful, but the Philco 49501, it defines modernism to me. A lot of people will call it the Jetson set. It was very striking, and I just I find it the epitome of radios. It started, in my mind, mid-century modern before 1950.
Yeah,
that's the one I'd probably take.
That's interesting. It's interesting to ask that question because, especially if you've seen people's collections and you've seen these high tube count, very sophisticated, very sensitive, all-wave sets, and they're in great condition. And then the guy will say, well, but the one I wouldn't part with is this little six-tube Motorola.
AM, and it's five tubes, and probably second in line is my Zenith Walton, but and then you can say, well, I love this Catalan radio, and the list just goes on after that.
Right.
You can't,
there's lots
you can't
of different
stop.
Reasons why people will fall in love and have that one piece they can't lose. Sometimes it could be something that's a very to the average collector, it looks like a pedestrian radio, but if somebody put an awful lot of time and effort into it, and it sort of, represents the apex of their restoration career. I spent more hours and did more work, and I almost rebuilt that based on the schematic. It should be like brand new, and that's, for them, that's what their attachment is. It's the work they put into it. Or the sentimentality, if it was something I listened to, the Boston Braves with Uncle Joe on this one, and even though it's kind of beat up, I really like it, and I won't part with it. So I like to ask that question. It's interesting to see what people have to say. So next swap meet is Brookline Event Center, September 28th.
Absolutely. We hope to see you and everyone else there. It's always a good time. You just never know what you're going to see there. That's the enjoyment to me. I mean, I've seen a lot of radios, but Every radio show I go to, something shows up that I've never seen before.
And I always regret not buying it. But,
well, yeah.
You know, that's one of those things that happens. You know, you go and you'll say, I'll make a couple of passes through. I'll go by towards the end. I know it'll be there.
No.
It doesn't work that way.
If it's interesting at all, it never works that way.
I know.
Someone else has already eyeballed it. So.
Well, hey, Bruce, thank you very much for sharing some time with us tonight. We appreciate it. And hopefully we'll see you out in September, and we'll make sure to remind all the listeners that we've got antique radio going on right up in New Hampshire come September. So thanks again for being on. Have a great night.
Thank you, Paul. Bye-bye.
Take care.
We three, we're all alone, living in a memory. My echo, my shadow, and me. We three, we're not a crowd, we're not even company. My echo, my shadow, and me. What good is the moonlight, the silvery moonlight that shines above? I walk with my shadow, I talk with my echo, but where is the one I love? We three will wait for you, even till eternity. My echo, my shadow, and me.
We three, we're all alone, seem like we're living in a memory. That's my echo, my shadow, and me. We three, we ain't no crowd. Fact is, we ain't even company. That's my echo, my shadow, and me. You know, I've been wondering, what good is the moonlight, that silvery moonlight that shines way, way up above? Yeah, I walk with my shadow, I talk with my echo, but where is that gal that I love?
We three will wait for you, even till eternity. My echo, my shadow, and me.
The Ink Spots, and how sweet is that, Mama, huh? That is just bring a tear to your eye. Beautiful vocal work. That is a recording from Decca, 1940. And again, we'd like to sincerely thank Bruce Phillips from the New England Antique Radio Club for sharing his perspective on this unique and fascinating hobby with you, our Tube Talk listening audience. So thanks, Bruce, for being on. And it never ceases to amaze me, all the different aspects and perspectives that people come to this hobby from. So nice to chat with Bruce, and hopefully we'll talk to him again. So create this image in your mind, people. Envision this. Here we are in the Philco foxhole, facing down the onslaught of cheap, crummy-sounding modern imported radios. Now use your imaginations on this one, gang. See the streams, the hordes of these little imported cheap radios. They have little arms and legs and wearing tiny helmets. Too many of them even to begin to count. And we're in the foxhole. The throngs are charging us. Our hands are steadying our water-cooled Brownings. Anyway, we the defenders, we're lobbing these big globe-sized tubes over the top. By the way, our Brownings are shooting 12 SA-7 tubes. Anyway, so fortunately for us, we have some good boat anchor equipment here, and we're in touch with headquarters, and hopefully they'll be relieving our position soon. And we do all of this just to protect our little tubular hour of radio we bring to you each week, fighting back the hordes. The effort, we pray, will be well worth it. Oh, no! Another wave! Call Captain Analog for air cover. Incoming!
We'll be right back.
Basie just taking over the world with that one, The Dance of the Gremlins. If you think that listening to your favorite radio show on a Philco 16B sounds better than a cold, clammy modern radio with an LCD display, then you have tuned to the correct spot on your dial. This is Tube Talk on 1330 AM WRCA. The email address to reach the program is tubetalk1@gmail.com, T-U-B-E-T-A-L-K, @gmail.com. Get you through to me, and I'd really appreciate hearing from you. We love your suggestions, comments, suggestions for guests, topics for shows. Don't be shy.
Can be. It makes me happy when he comes home to me. I call him dream bold and all that jive, and I'm living for the moment when he will arrive. When my dream boat comes home, then my dreams no more will roam.
That's the King Sisters from 1947. Well, we'd like to thank you all for tuning in tonight as we toddle off to bed here. But stay tuned. There's always more great programming coming on WRCA. You'll never know what you'll find here. If you're up late some night and you've just got that project on the bench and it just is confounding you and you need a little relaxation, check out WRCA Overnight, Danny Styles, Music in the Night. Lots of good stuff to keep you in the right mood to work on that set. Thanks again, gang. See you next week here on Tube Talk.
Wish I may, wish I might, have this wish I wish tonight. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. just wish, I wish to.